Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you that today we'll be talking about bits and pieces, open line. You can call in with your questions or comments, your dialogue and discussion on any of the issues that we see on a global basis, and we'll be delighted to discuss them with you. I feel that it's an opportunity for, I've had a number of people down through the years on this type broadcast where they said, I'd like to get in my 2 cents worth. Well, today's your opportunity to jump in with your 2 cents worth. We'd love to hear from you. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to be talking about some of the major events, things taking place in America and around the globe. We'll be talking about the coronavirus. We'll be talking about the election and what's taking place in the primaries. We'll be talking about President Trump and his continued to clean the swamp. We'll also be talking about some of the events that we see taking place that points directly to the Word of God in the prophetic sense of what is happening and what God is doing, how he is trying to get our attention as a people. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue, dialogue, and discussion, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So when we talk about issues, let me remind you, we need to focus on what is the truth? What's the source of truth? How do we get to the bottom of truth? It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, more it will hate those who speak it." And that's exactly what we see taking place today. And we'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today. You recall, and let me just drop this in at this point, you'll recall that the whole charade of impeachment for President Trump was about supposedly a quid pro quo with the Ukrainians. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that Nancy Pelosi's family was involved in that quid pro quo. We had several others, including George Soros. We had Mitt Romney and others that we'll talk about during the course of the broadcast. The very things that they were doing, they tried to pin on, nail on, and crucify President Trump for it. But when we deal with issues, we do so based on truth. And it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that made this statement. "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And may I challenge you as our listeners today, let that be your mantra. Let that be your motto. Let that be your standard, that you're going to seek the truth and listen to the truth and learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of professional landscape power equipment and for the homeowner, as well as the hurricane preparedness equipment, with a full line of Honda generators, with a knowledgeable staff to give you instructions and answer all your questions about the equipment sold at Tools for Time. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flagpole stands and Old Glory flies 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you have failed to, or you have not focused on, or considered the fact that it's God that's in control of this old world. Not Washington, not Nancy Pelosi, not Chuck Schumer, not even George Soros, though he thinks he is in control of the world when it comes to the finances and his ability to buy and collapse nations' economic picture and then buy it back for pennies on the dollar. God is still in control. And we see things happening today, ladies and gentlemen, that should concern us, not to the point that we're worried. And I say this because I enjoy eschatological truth. I love to look at, study, and see what God is saying and where we're going in this old world. You see, the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, which is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, gives us a roadmap. It gives us a pattern. It gives us a far-reaching picture as to what God is doing on a global basis, universally, and what shall be the end of the story. We have the end of the story. We have the Bible. And the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, gives us the end of the story. And by the way, when we see that, we understand that we win in the end. We as Christians win in the end. But ladies and gentlemen, as we see some of these things taking place, in fact, in Luke chapter 21, it talks about men's hearts failing them because of seeing these things coming about. And then in the 28th verse of the 21st chapter of Luke, it says, "Look up, lift up your head, for a redemption draweth nigh." And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about God's word and what God is saying, we need to understand that he's in control. He's in total, absolute, full control. Not Washington, not any other power or any other scenario, but God himself. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, may I just take a moment and read you two or three verses to set the stage on some of what we'll be talking about today. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about bits and pieces. I'll be talking about several things, covering the whole smattering from biblical, theological, eschatological truth, all the way through the political arena and what's taking place, and the social, moral, ethical standards that we find in America, and the need to turn back to God, turn back to the Word of God, and recognize that he's in control. And may I remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But in Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says in verses 6, 7, and 8, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all of these things must," in other words, must, M-U-S-T, it's imperative, it's important, it is necessary to come to pass. But the end is not yet. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows." Just the beginning. So what we're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, is the beginning of the ultimate sorrows. And when you study the text, it's literally talking about you can use this as an analysis, the birth pangs when a mother is about to give birth. Those birth pangs get closer together and more intense. We're watching these things take place on a global basis, and they're getting closer together and more intense. In fact, the scripture says, as I said a moment ago in the reading of that, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you paid attention to the latest, but here's an article dated February the 7th, 2020. 6.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey causes ground to bleed a deep red color. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, I recognize that it's God's putting before us some of the things that he says in the Word of God that shall take place. But listen very carefully. I'm going to read you a portion of this article, but listen carefully. It is not the end of the world. We're living in the last of the last days. These are the signs. The scripture calls them signs. It's the little Greek word simeons. It means road marks. It means indicators. You're driving down the road and there's a sign that's got a curve on it, means there's a curve ahead, or there's a stop sign ahead, or that says the ice on the bridge, or whatever it may say. That sign is giving us an indication of what is on the road before us, And that's what we see that this biblical text is pointing out for us. But this article says 6.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey causes ground to bleed a deep red color. And then in the article it says it's only the beginning of the second month of 2020, and we have already seen more tragedies and odd occurrences than any other year, which is causing people to once again believe that the world may be ending sooner than later. Now, may I pause for a moment and insert this thinking? It is sooner than later. In fact, most do not realize how close we are in the last of the last days until you study the eschatological text in the Scripture and understand that these road markers, as I referred to them, these signs are getting closer together, and we're seeing a greater intensity of these events taking place. We have seen down through the recent years the intensification of earthquakes. We've seen the numbers increasing exponentially. And as we do, we need to understand God is saying, I'm in control. It's me. Look up. Recognize that I'm in control. This article further says, one of the latest occurrences includes a 6.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey that created a very unsettling and bizarre phenomenon. A blood-like liquid seemed to bleed through the ground as the earthquake tore apart the ground, as showcased in the video, which they had attached to this. The earthquake that was centered in parts of Turkey also caused a serious series of aftershocks ranging from 5.4 to 3.3 in magnitude. Some have since tried to make sense of the bloody mess, stating that the red color could be due to the dye that's been added to the water supply to help detect leaks, though the theory was challenged by many because technicians would have used brighter colors such as green or yellow. Others speculated more supernatural explanations, pointing out that the 16th chapter in the book of Revelation counts down the stages to the apocalypse, predicting that the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became as blood. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you that, but I want you to understand what you find in the 16th chapter of the book of the Revelation. In fact, from Revelation chapter 5, begins at chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1, we find the indication of the rapture, the sudden seizure, the snatching away of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We as Christians will not be in what we see in the eschatological revelation in the book of the Revelation. We'll not be here. If you're saved, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, you will not go through the wrath of God. It is the word thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, the Greek text, simply referred to in the English Bible as the wrath. The wrath of God would be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And so when you look at the 16th chapter of the book of the Revelation, what is this particular writer has referred to, this is what it says. And the third angel poured out his vial, that's the bowl or vial of wrath, upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's in the the latter portion of the 7 years of tribulation. Now, I don't know about you, but I won't be here. If you're saved, you won't be here. But it's a good indication, ladies and gentlemen, because what we're seeing again would be the foreshadowings of those things that shall come about in full-fledged form in the days of the tribulation, when these things shall take place. In fact, when you look at the book of the Revelation, there are 21 judgments. There are the seven seal judgments. There's the seven trumpet judgments and the seven bowls. And each of those, each seal as it's opened, the wrath of God intensifies. Each trumpet that's blown, it brings forth and reveals a greater intensity of God's judgment. And the same with the bowls of wrath. It's the seven angelic angel beings, angels, zoos, living creatures, the Bible calls them, standing before the throne of God, which happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ, that's judging the whole world, waiting until direction is given to pour out your bowl of wrath or to blow your trumpet and reveal the further wrath of God. So that's what we're seeing. But ladies and gentlemen, it's imperative that we understand we're watching, we're seeing the foreshadowing, the increasing number of these signs that indicate we're in the last of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the need to say yes to Jesus Christ and to recognize the need to be obedient to the Word of God in the days in which we're living in. I think a lot of people today are living as though God is not real, that God does not exist, and He's not on His throne. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching these things. The Scripture says famines and pestilences, that means diseases, and earthquakes in diverse places. The world today, ladies and gentlemen, is experiencing more and more earthquakes and greater intensity. God, I believe God is saying, look up, I'm in control. Today, we're also seeing more and more diseases that seems to have no solution and no resolution. The coronavirus is one of those things. Ladies and gentlemen, I probably have 40, 50, 60 articles on the coronavirus. I have read them and reread them. I've analyzed them and scrutinized them. I have looked at it in view of what the Bible says in relationship to the pestilences that shall come. Now, one of the things, let me just tuck this in at this point, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're finding diseases coming into America that we've not experienced in recent years, that we thought we had conquered years and years ago, because we're having the floodgates opened at the southern borders, that people are coming in that's never had the treatment for these diseases, that's reinfecting our population, that's bringing about a great sense of dilemma by even the CDC. There's some things that we're facing today, ladies and gentlemen, that CDC says that even the best material, the best medicines, antibiotics that used to work are no longer working as they did at one time. But ladies and gentlemen, when we see what is taking place with the coronavirus, I find it frightening, not that I'm afraid, but frightening to understand what the outlying end result could very well be on a global basis. And I'm not the only one that's saying that. This is not said to be frightening to anybody. But I said 2 weeks ago when this first started breaking in the news on a mega basis, I told my wife and others that we're going to watch it exponentially double almost every 24 hours. And we are seeing that today very, very much and very real. This coronavirus, ladies and gentlemen, should cause every nation, every individual to realize that man has no real solution. It's only God. With what we're dealing with today with the coronavirus, though it is primarily hitting China, it also is spreading not just to America, but in other nations that are not prepared, ill-prepared, very ill-prepared to handle the outbreak. Here's an article that says, coronavirus spreads like wildfire on cruise ship. 69 people now infected, including Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize we have three major cruise ships? That one's off the coast of Japan, two in other places, one's in New Jersey, that have thousands and thousands of people on board that's been quarantined, that cannot leave the ship until they are verified to be coronavirus-free, because if they go out and into the public, they will spread it like wildfire. This article says the Princess Diamond cruise ship has one passenger that never bought a ticket. The coronavirus sweeping across China and creeping around the globe. As a result, 69 people on the ship have been infected with the virus, including at least 12 Americans. On Saturday, Princess Cruises had announced that 63 people, including 9 Americans, were infected on the ship, which was off the coast of Yokohama, Japan. Princess Diamond is under quarantine until February the 19th. The quarantine was imposed after it was learned that a passenger on the 3,700-person ship had gone ashore in Hong Kong last month and went to the hospital. On the ship, passengers are desperate to go home. Quote, we're trying somehow to reach the State Department to help and with hopes that they will get us home soon. Vanna, 69-year-old from Crystal River, Florida, said to the Washington Post, we are confined to our cabins. We're breathing recirculated air, and it's not a healthy environment for us to be staying in, she said. She was on the cruise with her husband, Mario, which is 75 years of age. We just want to get off the ship, she said. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize as of last evening's news, the numbers were over 1,000 deaths and over 40,000 infected with the coronavirus. Now, that's not the end of the world. But ladies and gentlemen, it is another one of those signs of the pestilences, that is diseases, that shall grip society on a global basis. in the last of the last, perhaps you ask the question, why is this so? Why is it taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe without any reservation, as we see the intensification of these signs taking place, it is God's increasingly saying to the world, look up, look to me. I'm the one that gives life. I'm the one that can take life. I'm the one that's in control of your life. I'm in control of this whole world. It's me that's on the throne, and it's me, Jesus, God, saying that it's he that is in control, not man. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, CDC admits rapidly changing situation, possible virus cases being monitored in 22 states. 22 states. And I find it a little bit disconcerting that with the fake, phony, drive-by media that is the representative of the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats, they're the spokespersons for that. I find it fascinating and a little bit disconcerting that they're playing this down and saying, well, we just got it in 5 states or 7 states or 10 states, and it's just, and they're minusculizing the potentiality. But CDC admits, and I'm reading the headline, CDC admits rapidly changing situation, possible virus cases being monitored in 22 states. A regional virus outbreak in China has morphed into a global scare that now threatens countries all around the world. Cases in America have skyrocketed, with 22 states now being monitored by the Centers for Disease Control. This is a rapidly changing situation, this article says, both abroad and domestically. The director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases said. Further, the article states, the communist government appears to be attempting to quarantine their way out of trouble, and now more than 40 million people sit in cities shuttered by travel restrictions, end quote. It's about a 4-page article, but as you read the article, you begin to realize that there's a whole lot more known about this than is being told to the general public. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the coronavirus and what is taking place with that and where this could be headed in relationship to end-time eschatological truth found in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. It's open line today. We're talking about, as I call it, bits and pieces, parts and fragments of the news around the globe and what should concern us and where we should be focusing our attention, and understand that God is the one that's still on the throne. He's the one that is in charge. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that says the coronavirus, 1918 all over again, question mark. Now, this article says, and it's a pretty lengthy article, I'm going to simply look at and give some blurbs from 2 or 3 portions of the article. The worst possible existential threat is the stealthily invisible one that multiplies exponentially in the accurate sense of the term. 400 cases today, 800 cases tomorrow, 1,600, 3,200, 6,400, 12,800, 25,600, 51,200, 102,400, 204,800, etc., etc., and over 1 million after only 12 doubling times. Biological threats proliferate until they run out of susceptible victims, end quote. In 1918, the great influenza pandemic killed as many people in 11 months as the medieval Black Plague did in the full four years. Ultimately, at least 50 million people may have perished, end quote. And it's doing a comparison and a contrast with the coronavirus and what happened in 1918. And ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place with the coronavirus today is that it is, in fact, about every 24 hours, the numbers are doubling. The numbers are doubling. Now, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. How did this start? And let me just give you a little quick chronology. Supposedly in Wuhan, China, in the what they call the wet markets. The wet market simply is an open market where you walk through and there are the carcasses of dead, clean-skinned animals that's there, all kind of animals, things we wouldn't even think about eating in America. But people can go through and look at the carcasses and pick this one or that one or the other one. It's called the wet market. And one of the merchants had, behind his wet market, had cages of live animals, animals that supposedly, according to the Chinese government, were not supposed to be sold alive in China. And supposedly that's where it started. In fact, they arrested the man, the shopkeeper there, charged him with the one that originated this coronavirus because of the things and animals he was selling there. Now, that may very well be it. But it was back in December that it was truly discovered, was not announced to the world until they saw that it was getting out of control. The physician that discovered it made the announcement, in my opinion, died suspiciously. He was said to have caught the contagion, the coronavirus, and died as a result of it. But they had already arrested him because he was not supposed to talk. They had said that he had spoken out of turn, that he had revealed information that he ought not to have revealed. And my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese government was afraid that he would point the finger back to what could have very well been the true cause. Now, what is that true cause, in my opinion? Here's an article that perhaps touches on it to give you an insight. Coronavirus may have originated in the lab linked to China's biowarfare program. The deadly animal-borne coronavirus spreading globally may have originated in a laboratory in the city of Wuhan linked to China's covert biological weapons program, said an Israeli biological warfare expert. The Radio Free Asia last week rebroadcast a Wuhan television report from 2015 showing China's most advanced virus research laboratory, known as the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The laboratory is the only declared site in China capable of working with deadly viruses, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not just scary tactic. This is not just a scary article. It's about a five-page article. I've just touched on the essence of it. But Senator Tom Cotton, I believe, has a reputation of honorability. But Senator Tom Cotton has said that he believes that the virus, coronavirus, he believes that it did not start with the wet market in Wuhan, China. He believes that it started from the laboratory in Wuhan, China, where they developed biological weapons warfare material. And he has started an investigation because Senator Tom Cotton believes that the source is yet to be truly identified. And he points out the fact that even the Chinese chemists and the Chinese medical teams have refused to allow the CDC to come into China to help them research and determine the cause and the origin of the coronavirus. So we're talking about something that I believe could be explosive politically as well as medically for the globe, because China is not going to allow that to get out. I think this is the reason they're sequestering, and I believe that's the reason they've confined the people so closely. They have a concrete barrier built around Wuhan, China, to prevent anyone from going in or anyone coming out. The city, the whole region, is literally sequestered and shut down. Here's an article that says, World Health Organization declares coronavirus outbreak a global health emergency. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the potentiality of these things getting out of control. But let me say once again, this is just foreshadowing, is a foreshadowing of where we're going after the church is raptured out in the days of the tribulation with the pestilences and the earthquakes and the wars and rumors of wars that the Bible tells us shall take place. Now, God didn't give us that in his word, and so I have to go back and change it, modify it, or eradicate it because it didn't come about. It's because he says it, that settles it, and it's going to take place. This article says the World Health Organization defines a global emergency as an extraordinary event that constitutes a risk to other countries and requires a coordinated international response, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news as we continue to Let's Face the Issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.